Good morning and welcome in to the Blitz live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I'm Charlie Collier. Next to me, Andy Brock, Sam Beard back behind the board as we are one day closer to the day we're all waiting for. Tennessee, Florida. Man, I feel a lot better today. Today, I'm no longer, well, I still am kind of sad about the Titans, but we're flushing it.
You've got more energy today, and
we're
I like
flushing
that.
It, and we're headed to Tennessee, Florida.
Isn't that the good thing?
The absolute.
Isn't that nice that you can go from
just
a disappointment to a really exciting weekend
that we're about to put on the Florida Gators?
Yep.
Just the demons we're about to exercise in Neyland Stadium Saturday. It's going to be glorious. And we've fully turned our attention to that now. We'll worry about Todd Downing on Sunday.
Sunday morning. Not even thinking about it right now.
Sunday morning, I'll wake up a champion. I'll wake up probably a little hungover. And then I'll hop in the truck. I'll drive to Nashville.
Oh, you're going. All right.
I don't miss a Titans game.
Okay.
I don't miss a Titans game.
I figured.
Like 15, 16, 17 years, something like that.
You haven't missed a single home game in that?
Yeah.
In 17 years?
But I don't miss home games.
Mm.
So I'll get in the car, and, you know, probably when I get to about Lebanon, that's when I'll start worrying about Todd Downing. But until then,
I'm focused. That first half of the drive is easy. You're good.
That first half of the drive, I'm listening to music. I'm singing along. I don't know about you guys. Every time I drive anywhere, the entire time I am singing at the top of my lungs.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Rapping, singing, whatever it is. Humming, stomping, clapping along with the church choir. If
sure.
It's Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it makes the time go by. I agree.
Like, I'll go on like a 13-hour drive, and for 13 consecutive hours, I will just be putting on a one-man show.
I love that. I'm all on board with that. I can't do like the podcast for 2 hours and sit in silence.
Mm-mm.
That makes me think about every minute that goes by. If you're singing,
it also
you're
makes
talking.
Me think about like life. And then I get like sometimes when I drive, like I get way too introspective, and that's dangerous.
So you have nothing
that's
to
not
do,
good.
But
you might just need a better podcast to listen to, guys.
No, I do. I listen to a couple different ones. I listen to like, you know, the Fan Run Radio podcast, of course.
Yeah.
No, I listen to a
listen to our show.
I listen to Anus. Always gets me going. It's a good one.
He's actually being serious.
Yeah. Wait, what'd you say? I didn't even hear what you said.
A New Untold Story. I listen to that a lot. I listen to that, and I listen to, like, PMT's football, like, previews sometimes. They have an interesting guest, but I'm not a huge podcast guy.
I'm not either.
It's hard to, like...
Except for ours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just hard sometimes to, like, listen to radio and, like, talk stuff when you already do it.
True.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm definitely more of a music individual. When it comes to like a road trip or just, you know, I'm walking from one place to the next.
Mm. I never do that. I never walk with the headphones in.
Really?
No.
Why not?
I like to be engaged with my surroundings.
Well, you can still do that. You just have background music now.
No, I mean, I like to hear everything, feel everything, sense everything when I'm walking around. Just like feel the earth.
I like it because it adds like a little bit of life to your walk. A little bit of a mood to your walk.
I mean, I do it every once in a while. But
it's
like,
cool.
For the most part.
I was very anti that until like my junior year of college.
I would do it when I was walking to class. I'd walk to class with music, and then I usually on the walk back I'd like talk to my mom.
Okay, no, yeah, I can do that too.
But anyway, we're off and rolling here, Andy. You good today?
Yeah, I'm doing
All's good.
Yeah, everything's been good.
The Brock life.
Oh yeah, everything's been good. I haven't had to climb out of the pit. I've been at a nice steady pace leading into this weekend. It's kind of hard to focus, you know. Knowing what's coming up this weekend, have you found it hard to kind of focus these last 2 days? Because there's just like so much going on, and then like it's not there yet, and it feels like you're right before week one again, like you know how it was where it was like football's coming up, but like there's nothing right now. Kind of feels that way.
Like, it's also brutal. I didn't even think about this. And next week, just a bye week.
Oh yeah,
that's gonna be brutal.
What do we even do?
I don't know. Can we take the week off?
Do we get a bye week?
That seems fair.
I think we should just do double the preparation on LSU, just like our football team's going to be doing.
Exactly. We go on the recruiting trail.
All right, Sam, you lead the way.
We
you
go recruit.
You stay back home at the studio. You do double the LSU prep. We'll hit the road.
We're going to go on the recruiting trail.
Sam, You good this morning?
I'm pretty good.
How's class going? Those grades staying up?
Yeah, I've got an exam on Thursday, actually.
Me and Andy haven't seen any progress reports yet.
That is true. You did say you were going to get straight A's. What, are we on track?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the first month of school. Like, I'm getting into the first exam period, kind of, where school actually starts ramping up now. I mean,
you better not let Tennessee, Florida distract you from that
exam. I do remember that, though.
Obviously not.
Well, I do remember a lot of, like, the first exams come up right at Tennessee, Florida week, and it's like, it does become super unfortunate.
I really like that, actually.
Why?
Because
you get it out of the way before
the Florida
game? No, I
just love tests. Like, I was just a huge test guy. What? Okay. I loved going to class knowing that I didn't have to learn anything that day.
It's different. Yeah. That's different.
Like, that's what, like, I was pumped for tests because it was just like, so that means I don't have to do any homework. I don't have to learn anything. I don't have to spend any extra time on this class. Like, all I have to do is show up and answer some questions. Yeah.
You must not have done too well on all your tests. Yeah.
Oh, I would exclusively do well on tests.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I didn't do homework, and I didn't do, like, a lot of basic assignments. But I just knew that I would get A's on all the tests and all the projects and all the papers, and that would still just be enough to get me, like, a 91, a 92, even if I didn't show up to enough classes or do enough of their busy work.
Mm.
So I was a big test guy.
Okay.
But also, Sam, today, gallon challenge.
Yeah, I'm about 3 cups in already.
Yeah, I've been watching you go at it back there.
Yeah, just I'm feeling pretty good so far.
Hold up the gallon real quick. Let's see where we're at. We are
quarter of the way there.
Yeah, we are barely above the logo right now, and it is
10 minutes in, 11 minutes in.
You might be a little overzealous to start.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that. But
you might be throwing up milk by, like, the 45-minute mark.
I think maybe the strategy is to try and just knock down as much as I can while I'm feeling decent.
Like a cup
get
every
get it to about, like, halfway.
Okay. How much is coming out with, like, one of those cups? Or, like, do we know how many of those cups are in a gallon if we can, like, try to pace it out for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to
do,
like,
think
do
that
the math
cup
right
you
every,
have is an actual cup?
This
cup
is
every
my,
5 minutes?
I'm about 2.5 cups in right now, and this is, I would say, probably...
I think you're gonna need also. I think 40%. You're gonna need, like,
it gets wider at the bottom, so you've gone like through the easy, like, top part where it comes together.
I would say I'm probably 35 or 40% of the way there.
You've, like, almost drank as much as I drink for dinner.
Yeah. No, this is looking pretty normal so far. Like, I'm not too surprised.
Like,
with
that
what
looks
I'm,
like
what I, drink so far.
I could use, like, one more glass just to finish up these last 4 bites, like, territory right now.
I will say, I think the 2% is going to hit me at some point here soon.
Yeah, I mean, I
think I would be
destroying this challenge. If you wanted skim, you could have bought your own gallon.
Skim. Well, Andy didn't buy his own eggs for this egg challenge.
That is true.
I feel like that's a little bit different. I wasn't going to make him prepare 24 eggs.
I mean, I definitely could have brought my own gallon. I just kind of, I don't know, it kind of slipped my mind.
Well, actually, I was
so depressed from that Titans loss.
What I already left, and I was sitting at the traffic light when I texted you. I was like, "Oh wait, do you have a gallon?" And then you didn't. I was like, "I guess I'm going to turn around and go grab a gallon real quick." And just 2% was
I probably
could have
stopped at the gas station.
Well,
they probably don't have skim milk at the gas station, though.
You don't want to drink a gallon of gas station milk. I never trust the gas station milk. It's been properly cooled the entirety of its shelf life.
Yeah, you're probably
right.
I've just walked
into a gas station and just been like, I went to go grab a drink from one section of the fridge. And he's like, not right now.
come back another time.
He's like, it's not working, but we're thinking it'll turn back on soon.
Yeah, I would never go back to that gas station.
And I was like, that's the section that, like, your frozen hamburgers and, like, your milk and stuff is in. Like, you should maybe move those to a different section. And that's just because I go to that gas station every week and they, like, we got a relationship, so they warned me. If I was just a stranger, they just would have let me drink it.
Mm.
But anyway, we're off and rolling. Oh, I'm doing good, by the way.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. Not much to report.
How'd you get locked out last night at work?
I did.
What?
I need to hear this.
Well, last night, right, I work in a restaurant, and the restaurant that I work at has a rooftop. And up on that rooftop, like, there's a little bar, and it goes outside then to, like, the outdoor rooftop area, and there's 3 bathrooms. People were in, like, the 3 downstairs bathrooms, and I just had to pee real quick, so I went upstairs to use one of those. And then I was like, what a nice night. And I wasn't super busy, so I walked out on the roof briefly just to, like, take a look around and just look at the sky, take it all in. I like to do that from time to time, just kind of reset. Did not realize the door was locked. Yeah, so the door locked behind me. So then I was just trapped up there, but no one is coming upstairs because it's locked, and no one's looking at their phone because they're busy working. So I just called everyone over and over again and, like, was Snapchatting people. And then finally, like, someone that works at the restaurant was just there eating and saw in, like, the Snapchat group that I was stuck on the roof and, like, told someone to go get me. But I was up there for probably, like, 10 minutes.
That's not terrible.
Maybe a little bit longer.
That's enough to make you panic a little bit.
It was enough where it was just like, man, my tables are getting awful service right now because I'm stuck on this roof.
Yep.
But other than that, it was a good night. It's a good night.
At least it's a good story to tell them once you get back, you know.
I mean, will I get stuck on that roof again?
Locked on
stuck
the roof.
On the roof.
Maybe. Is that going to be the last time? It's undecided. But Tennessee, Florida week. We'll get into it on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz, we're live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios for the next couple hours. Want to let you know about our friends at White Claw. Hey, this is the time. It's time to ditch the beer. It's time to ditch the beer belly bloat. Cheer on the Big Orange with White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted with quality ingredients. White Claw is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and it just has a little hint of fruit flavor. It's 100 calories, it's a gram of sugar, so it's nice and healthy for you. And only 5% alcohol. It's available in many deliciously refreshing flavors. And as always, please drink responsibly. Sam, how's that milk going?
Pretty good.
Good?
Doesn't taste as good as a White Claw, though.
Are you drinking responsible up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Milk, 100%.
Yeah. No, the responsible way to drink milk is in large proportions.
Is in gallon increments.
Yeah.
That is the responsible way to drink milk.
So college game day this weekend. I mean, just so much buzz right now around town, around campus for this game. And a lot of people have been talking about who the guest picker could be. Last time, it was Tennessee, Florida. We got Spurrier and Fulmer.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem fair. Why don't we get
it's not
own,
usually
why don't we
neutral.
Get our own picker?
I get because Spurrier is from Tennessee, and it is more of like, hey, the rivalry.
Didn't like that. The time before, it was Kenny Chesney. I don't really know if he counts as ours. He's just he's everybody's.
Well, no. He's a Tennessee fan, though.
He's a Tennessee fan.
That's what it comes down to.
He's not actually a Tennessee fan.
Yeah. He's from the area.
How many times has he been photographed in, like, other teams' apparel and talking about
LeBron James does the same thing. I mean,
yeah, and I don't respect him. I don't respect LeBron James.
People do these type of things. But he's a Knoxville guy. He's from the area.
I just I don't know. But hopefully they get someone better than.
Sometimes isn't it just someone completely random though, right? It's just like.
I mean, I think we have had like Katy Perry.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'd be okay. I'd be cool with Katy Perry.
That would be amazing.
If Katy Perry wants to come up in here. Yeah.
I
mean, you're more than welcome. But I'm trying to think. Famous Knoxville people.
I saw somewhere Candace Parker, and I'm all on board with that. Would be awesome.
I'm not.
Why not?
I want someone more interesting than Candace
what?
Parker.
She's very interesting.
Like, let's just get, like, Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Let's get...
I mean, he's definitely interesting if you want that.
Let's get Quentin Tarantino. Knoxville native.
I don't know if he would do that, but yeah, he is from Knoxville.
I feel like people don't remember that
often
enough that Quentin Tarantino is just from Knoxville.
It's pretty wild. I don't know if he'd go on game day, though. I don't know if he's...
I feel like that's right down his alley.
Big game day guy.
How long did he live in Knoxville?
Like, not many years.
He was born right.
He got out of here quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if he ever comes back to Knoxville.
You know, he always has those, like, East Tennessee references in his movies.
Does he?
Yeah. Did you not know that?
I mean, I don't think I've, like,
every single one of his movies. No, every single one of his movies, he has an East Tennessee reference.
Like, can you give me one example off the top of your head? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in Django they mention Chattanooga, or they go to Chattanooga at one point.
Okay. What about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Did he mention it in that movie?
Yes, I haven't seen it in forever, but hold on, let me look it up.
I mean,
they're all super subliminal. Like they're all super subliminal.
So he's looking out for us then. He likes us.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's get I feel like a lot of people I've seen Morgan Wallen thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
Given that he has multiple songs that mention the Tennessee Vols, and he's somewhat native, and he likes college football, and I think he's like an entertaining personality. I'd be cool with that. You didn't sound very enthusiastic, Andy.
Well, I just did Luke Combs, so it's like, you know, one country singer to the next. I feel like they're going to do variety.
Yeah, week one was their musician too, though, right?
Yeah. I don't know who. What was week one?
It was
a Georgia.
Was it Jack Harlow?
Yeah, it was Jack Harlow. Yeah.
It was Jack Harlow?
They can't do... I feel like they did Luke Combs because he is openly like a very big App State fan.
He is the App State guy.
So it's like, you don't have to do a musician for Tennessee and Florida. Like, you've got other options. But you could do Dolly Parton. She's more than a musician.
She's everything.
She's everything.
She is.
Wouldn't
Tennessee.
That be something?
Do you think she'd do it?
I don't know. She's kind of... There are some, I feel like, celebrities that are like too big for game day. She might be too big for game day.
There are celebrities that have been too big for game day, but then they've still done game day.
Well, like, what's the biggest celebrity to have done game day?
I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey? Like
I was just about to say.
But he's like an avid, outspoken football fan. And
he's like a Texas booster.
Yeah, he teaches at Texas, so that's a big difference.
Okay, Katy Perry.
That's a really big one.
That one still doesn't. The fact that she's done it twice doesn't make sense.
And it was for Ole Miss LSU, wasn't it? Like, what does she have that is tied between those two schools?
I don't know.
I think we should get like a former player. Right?
LeBron James was on game day at one point.
What about like Eric Berry?
Bill Murray, Keegan-Michael Key, Ric Flair, Charles Barkley, Jeff Dunham, Will Ferrell.
Do they go ahead and just get Peyton to do it?
I don't. I mean, it's just what it feels like. That'll just happen.
What about Jason Witten or like a former player?
Jason Witten probably shouldn't be allowed to speak in microphones anymore after that Monday Night Football debacle. But I do like Jason Witten. Let's get
Juwan Jennings.
Let's get Juwan Jennings. Just take a week off for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And every single one of his picks, he doesn't even pick the game. They just play the replay of his catch against Florida.
They just go back and forth between that and Larry.
Juwan Jennings. We're just going to play that like 9 times over in his picks.
I'm seeing a lot of people wanting Dolly Parton to be the picker.
I think that's been like the most popular.
I think that would be probably the most popular pick because everyone loves Dolly Parton.
All right, what's your official vote?
Official vote? I'm gonna go with Candace Parker.
Sam, you're making the call right now. College Game Day listens to whatever you say.
I think I'd go Dolly. I feel like that place would probably be. That place would just go crazy.
Oh, are we like predicting who it will be, or like who we think it'll be? Like I was trying to predict, or I didn't know if it was like who we wanted it to
both,
be.
Both, either.
I would like Candace Parker. Why not? She's on ESPN all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's my thing. She's on ESPN all the
time.
That's
why
I
don't it's easy
need to see her again.
It's easy.
Like same with Peyton
She's
Manning.
A Tennessee
like, oh,
fan.
We're just gonna get the same guy that we see all the time.
That's true.
We're probably just gonna promote the Manning cast and pick the Vols, do a couple like lighthearted chuckles and leave. That's not interesting to me. Dolly would be really interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'd like to see Morgan Wallen, honestly. I'd be cool with that. Houston yelling out in the vegetable. But, I'll you know what? Let's go Dolly all across the board.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be very happy with that.
Dolly all across the board. Hey, did you guys see Jabari Small full go?
Yeah, he practiced yesterday.
Yeah, Jabari Small was full go in practice, as were the rest of the running backs. Cedric Tillman also, I think, is thought to be good to go for Saturday. I think, you know, maybe he's going to be a little bit less 100% than Jabari Small is. But I think both of those guys right now feeling like they're good to go. when you look at Florida, you know, I don't think they're facing a ton of health issues either. But as we're getting closer to this game, you know, how are you guys feeling? How are you feeling, Andy? You feeling confident? Like, is there confident? Is it fair to be confident against Florida at this point?
Yeah, no, I think from what we've seen in the season, it definitely is fair to feel confident. I know there's always that lingering doubt, knowing just how the series has been in the last few years. And you say, you know, it's you haven't won since 2016. And then from there, you hadn't won since, what, like 2005? It's been very one-sided the last few years, so there's always that. But just looking at the two teams and kind of forgetting the past, which I really believe, you know, this is a new Florida regime. They've got a brand new head coach, obviously. This is year two under Josh Heupel. They're still fresh within their own series. You can kind of forget that past. This is a brand new, you know, Tennessee and Florida field this year. It's completely brand new. First time these coaches have seen each other. So for them, I feel like they're treating this is like the first of this series between them. We're kind of forgetting the past. It's a Tennessee team that hasn't shown us, you know, too many reasons to not believe that they are going to, you know, be in this game and if not win, compete. And then it's a Florida team that have certainly shown more flaws in the last 2 weeks than this Tennessee team has. It's a Florida team that had a huge marquee win week one, but then since then have really been struggling to replicate that success. Now, will we see them maybe improve from their last 2 weeks? I'm sure they hope so, and I'm sure we're going to see Anthony Richardson throw his first touchdown, and that doesn't need to be a reason for people to be concerned when, you know, they finally throw their first passing touchdown. I completely expect that to happen at some point, because it's going to happen in the season, whether it's this week or next. But Tennessee just hasn't shown any indication that this is a game which they are going to lay down and you know, not win. There's no indication at the moment that Tennessee isn't at a place where they should beat this Florida team. I think that was the consensus coming into this season. And then when Florida had their big week one, it was like, uh-oh, maybe they're that good. But then the last 2 weeks have kind of shown that they still also have a lot of work to do. So I think Tennessee is in the position, in the driver's seat, and it's kind of up to them at this point. And I have no reason not to feel confident in what Josh Heupel and this team has put out on the field so far.
Yeah, I got to thinking last night too, Andy, and you know, has Tennessee's season been perfect? No, far from it. Has everything looked as good as you would like it to? No, not really. The offense, I think, could be more crisp. The running game, I think, hasn't gotten going the way you want it to. But in spite of all of that, you're still a significantly better team than Florida. You are one of the 10 best teams in the country. When you look at this matchup, when you really get to thinking about this matchup, I know we worry about the past. We feel the pressure of Florida in this series and the way that they've kind of owned you. The way that even when you've had the better team, the team that was supposed to win, they've owned you. Even when it's backup quarterback Treon Harris, who doesn't have an ounce of ability in his being, well, they still own you. So, like, I get the anxiety that comes with that. I remember all those losses. I remember them far too well. But I don't remember this Tennessee team losing to this Florida team. I don't remember Josh Heupel with an experienced Hendon Hooker in his second year as Tennessee's head coach as a top 15 team in the country hosting Florida at home and losing. I don't remember that. You know, it's like if you flip a coin and it's heads four times in a row, that fifth time you feel like it's probably going to be heads, but the odds are still independent. This game is still independent from all the other ones. It is a mutually exclusive event. You know, there is no causation, correlation. It is this year's Tennessee team versus this year's Florida Gators team. A logo on a helmet, a name that is, you know, written in cursive at the top of a jersey, those things don't beat you. It takes football players playing football better than you to beat you. And when you look at this Florida team, I mean, Anthony Richardson on the year, 41 of 77, zero touchdowns, four interceptions. Their leading rusher on the year has just 166 yards. Their leading receiver on the year has just 120 yards. Through three games, they're putting up the kind of numbers that Tennessee's offense could put up in one game. Through three games, despite the fact that you were excellent in that first game, and You know, you went and beat a top 10 team 29-26. Despite that, your offense is still just has some gross numbers. I mean, 14 of 35, 143 yards, two picks against Kentucky for Richardson. Last week, an abysmal USF team, 10 of 18 for 112 yards. I think that Tennessee's weaknesses and strengths, just the way they match up with Florida, it plays out perfectly in this game. You know, Tennessee's biggest weakness defensively, right? I think we all agree is their secondary. Where is Florida least equipped to attack Tennessee? Well, with their passing game. You know, they're not going to be able to take advantage of Tennessee's defensive weakness the way other schools can, but they're going to try to run the ball, and that's where Tennessee, I think, can be successful. That front seven, they're athletic. I think they match up well with Florida. Offensively, where's Florida strongest? Defensively, where is Florida strongest? They're secondary. But where is Tennessee the most well-equipped to attack Florida with their passing game? Where has Florida struggled stopping the run? USF ran all over them a week ago. At halftime, USF was over 100 yards. They were getting over, like, I think it was over 5 yards a carry. Where's Tennessee's offense? Probably the weakest, maybe the weakest. Where are you most concerned about them? The run game. But Florida, again, not specifically well-equipped to take advantage of that. Like, I think when you just look at this matchup, Tennessee is the better team. They have the better talent. They have more talent. They're deeper. And again, they're more well-equipped in this matchup. This should be a game that Tennessee covers. This should be a game that you finally just exhale and feel that sweet feeling of relief where you get that Florida Gators monkey off of your back, where you set the tone for Heupel versus Napier going forward that, hey, this is ours now. We are grabbing control of this series, and we are not going to let go. And I think that starts Saturday. I think you have a wonderful opportunity to do that Saturday.
Yeah, that's a really good point because it could be a matchup between Heupel and Napier that you see for a long time, and you're right, it does set the tone. And you know, you talk about not looking back at the past. It's easy to do that right now because it is two different teams. But, you know, once the tone is set, you have that to look back on. And obviously, as we've seen a lot in college football, once one team or one coach kind of dominates over one other coach for a while, it's hard to break that. And, you know, maybe it is back and forth for the next few years between these two. But at least for this year, this is one, you're right, where Tennessee, they have all the tools needed, and it just needs to come down to execution.
Sam, is there anything about this game besides just the history of this series and the weight of the name Florida that really worries you about this matchup?
To be honest with you, that's the only thing that's worrying me at this point. I'm feeling almost too confident. Feeling just so confident that something's going to go wrong on Saturday and we're going to have to kind of play a game like we did against Pitt where we might have to just grind one out here. Not a bad thing either, but I don't know. Like, I'm just feeling very good about where our team's at. I'm feeling good about where we're at defensively. The offense hasn't really – I mean, we're putting up, like, 60 points. It's not like we're not clicking, but, you know, Hooker's overthrowing a couple. Our receivers have had a couple more drops than we would normally think they would have from last year. Other than that, I think that we have a very good shot to come in here playing a Florida team with a new coach. They haven't really settled in on that new team. They haven't bought in, I guess, all the way. I would be a lot more scared playing Florida later in the year, but given where we're playing them and how we look in year two, I think it's going to be setting up for a very good Sunday for us. I'm sorry, Saturday for us and Sunday too.
Yeah, Sunday too.
Yeah. I mean, but I just think that, I don't know, I think that the way that Tennessee loses this game is they beat themselves, not Florida beating us.
You talked about, you know, not the offense having not clicked yet and not looking, you know, a complete click all around. It does still feel like, you know, you're still like in early season mode, like where you're trying to figure things out. how cool would it be if everything did work out to where you felt like, all right, we're in mid-season form now, right before your bye week?
If everything clicks going into the bye week,
that's very
cool. Can come out of that bye week heading down to LSU as an undefeated top 10 team. Oh boy!
Because you usually feel like once you get to the bye week, you should have the early season kinks out of the way. So this is your last game to do it before the bye week.
Does it feel like an early bye week to you guys?
It does. Yeah.
I don't know if there's actually data to back it up that it's an early bye week, but it certainly feels like
normally it's like there's another game and then the bye week, maybe it's like a week earlier than normal.
I feel like usually you get to Alabama and then it's like right before, right after.
It's middle of October, right. I feel this is first week of October, so it does feel early.
Hopefully that doesn't cause any issues later on, but I'm pumped for this matchup, but you should win this game. There is no excuse not to win this football game. But hey, we're over time. We'll get into my week 3 SEC power rankings on the other side. It is the 21st of September. Good call.
Thank you.
It's officially fall too, right?
I don't know.
I think that I think
I don't keep up with that kind of thing.
You just don't know? There's like four dates throughout the year that you know when the season changes. It's all on the 21st.
Again, I don't really.
Are you not good with 21st? Are you not good with the days of the months?
No.
What? How do you view? So people view like a year and like months differently. Like how do you view when you think of like a whole year? Where do you view the months? Like in your head when you think back,
January through December.
Yeah, in a straight line. Like some people go like January, February, like in a straight line. For me, I go in like in a circle. So right now we're like 75% clockwise through the circle. We started at the bottom.
I am 100% a straight line man.
Started at the bottom, and we've been slowly going around this circle of the year. And then once we get the year, we start back at the bottom. So right now we're like top right corner. Pretty cool, huh?
No. Wait, what? Also, why would we be top right? Wouldn't we be bottom left corner?
What?
You start the circle where you start one on the clock.
No. I start like at 6 on the clock. Like January is at the very bottom of the circle. Yeah, I start on the. So January's at the bottom. And then by June, we're at the top of the clock. Because it's like, you know. Yeah, I do it completely backwards.
This doesn't make sense.
I don't look at a normal clock.
Why'd you ask us that? As if
I was interested.
There's anyone else on the planet that does this?
There's got to be someone else out there that does.
Like I could have gotten behind it if you were like, yeah, you know, it's like a circle instead of a line. But the fact that you start at the bottom of the circle is really baffling.
No, but I start at the bottom. Why not? Because like
right now we're at like 3 p.m.
Winter's at the bottom. Falls on the right.
It's just 3 p.m. Springs on the left. 3 p.m. Summer's at the top. Andy season time, I guess.
Wait. What do you mean?
Clock.
Say that again.
On your circle clock.
Oh, yeah. We're more like,
we're like 3 p.m.
We're right, left.
Year?
Yeah. Well, I don't think of it as a clock. I just think of it as a circle. If you want to compare it to a clock, you can.
I've never thought of it as a clock, circle, or line. They're just days.
You just let them float out there. You don't even have any way to organize the months of the year.
I don't even know what number day
it is. So when you think back to like,
almost every day.
Oh, this happened 3 years ago. How do you go back and like visually see that? You just like.
I just remember what happened 3 years ago.
You don't have any sort of device like a circle or a line to go back to?
No, I just. Wow. I think, I guess like everything runs together in my head too, but.
Sam, you view it as a line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like January is like the far left of the line.
Okay.
And then December is just far right. And you're just going down the line.
So you just keep putting more lines next to each other?
Yeah. And so when you think back to like 2020, you go back a couple of lines, right?
Yeah. I feel like Matthew McConaughey in like the first season of True Detective right now. I feel like you should be like looking off into the sky like time is a flat circle right now.
I don't know. I've heard it. Either the circle way, the way that I do it, or the line way. I've never known anyone that's just like, yeah, they just float around out there, and that's how it happens.
Yeah, I mean,
and it makes sense because you don't know when the first day of fall is.
I don't know when the first day of fall
is. It's technically
is
tomorrow. It's not today. It's tomorrow.
We're in second summer, according to Tennessee weather right now. You know,
like I don't really think a lot about seasons. I look out the window when I wake up in the morning, and I just kind of gauge the weather from there.
You're crazy.
And if what I wear works out, good for me. And if it doesn't, be better the next day.
Sure.
I don't like
tomorrow's fall. So
you could tell
enjoy
me that Saturday is going to be like 48 degrees in storming and 6 inches of rain, and you could tell me that it's going to be like perfectly sunny and 91 degrees, and I wouldn't know either way.
What do you mean you wouldn't know?
Like I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Well, someone just told you, so you're.
Yeah, but like,
I'm not like studying the weather patterns, but like
I was looking at Buffalo.
I generally know it's September. It's not going to be freezing.
It's going to be It's going to be kind of warm here and there, and partly cloudy. Low of 52, high of 80. So, like, fourth quarter, it's going to be sitting there in, like, low 60s, I bet.
That's kind of cool.
Nice.
That's going to be great.
Be nice.
Yep.
You're talking about for Saturday?
Yeah. Saturday's going to be pretty mild weather.
I feel like it's going to be hot. I feel like it's just going to be hot.
Oh, it's a high of 80.
That's still, I mean,
so
that's
like at
still
kickoff,
kind of hot.
At kickoff, it'll be 80, and that's, like, toasty enough to
it's
where
it's,
like.
Getting up to 93 today?
Yeah, it's very hot today.
Let's go.
No,
I don't want it.
It's going to be in the 40s next week.
There's nothing I hate more than the
we're gonna,
second.
We're going to touch the 40s next summer. Week, Sam. Enjoy this second summer while it lasts.
Just get me to fall.
I don't know. Andy, you broke my brain. Sam, just send us to break. We'll do SEC power rankings on the other side. Can you please make him stop? Started asking me how I visualize time, and then he said that he sees it as like two rows on top of each other from 12 to 12 and then from 12 to 12.
Yeah, no, the month thing has me thinking. There's just so many different ways people think of different things.
I don't like what you're doing right now.
No, I'm getting very introspective about our world.
Well, sound like me when I'm driving and I don't have music. Want to let you know, hey, it's Free Window Tint Wednesday today. We love Free Window Tint Wednesday, courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics. Every Wednesday during football season, we'll be giving away a free window tint live on the Fan Run Radio airwaves. Tinting your windows is cool, both literally and figuratively. Again, first of all, it just looks badass. And second, it actually lowers the temperature inside your vehicle. You can win a free window tint by going online and registering at fanrunradio.com/tint. That is fanrunradio.com/TINT. And listen to Fan Run Radio Wednesdays during football season to hear the weekly winners. Courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics, you can check them out online at gnjauto.com. And exciting developments, we will actually be giving away a free window tint live here on the Blitz in the second hour. So you're going to want to make sure you are locked in for that. That being said, I'll just start running through this week's power rankings. I'll get through the first half here. Start from the bottom. Andy, you let me know when I'm wrong, okay?
Okay.
14, Missouri. 13, Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt is out of the basement for now. They held a lead against Wake Forest a week ago, and then this past week, I don't know if you saw, but they made a quarterback change over to the freshman, I think, or at least one of their younger guys, I think A.J. Swan, and he was kind of balling. He was kind of balling. Him and number 14 had quite the connection going. I think they scored, I think it was like 21, 28 unanswered on Northern Illinois on the road to pull out that win.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
They benched Ken Seals for the freshman.
They benched Mike Wright.
And Ken Seals.
Well, Ken Seals is already benched.
Right.
Now they double
benched. I'm just saying
him.
That they didn't put Ken Seals in as the backup when Mike Wright got benched.
Yeah. They went to Swan. Yeah,
21
and
points
good.
In the third quarter.
He did look good. At 12, I have Auburn. But they are venturing towards Vandy, Missouri range very quickly.
Yeah.
Imagine this is Brian Harsin's last year. I think that before he gets fired, he might just go to Arizona State, honestly. I think that he's going to end up as Arizona State's next head coach. It makes a lot of sense, but I don't think he lasts all that long at Auburn. At 11, I have South Carolina. And then you start to kind of get into that next tier of things. At 10, I have Texas A&M. Still did not move up a ton. If anything, I was more underwhelmed by Miami than I was impressed by Texas A&M in that game. But I do think that they have something to build on now. You get that win, you know, you flush App State, and you got a new starting quarterback. I think that gives them something, and I could see them climbing. At 9, I have Florida. And really, I could bump Florida behind A&M, but Florida still just that week one win against Utah for now holds them at 9. At 8, I have an LSU team that actually got a very impressive win over the weekend. That LSU team, I saw a graphic. Brian Kelly's teams in his first year have had a tendency to get significantly better from the first couple weeks of the season through the rest of the season and even, you know, just from week to week. And I think you saw that.
Are LSU people still complaining about them now?
I don't think so.
Because I feel like, that's a pretty big win.
I mean, both of those teams, both of those offense just squandered opportunities quite frequently in that game for a while. But LSU kind of broke through, and Mississippi State just really looked broken there in the fourth quarter.
I would still
just
put
a complete collapse.
I'd still put Florida and A&M above LSU for now.
I don't know. I just go back and I look at that Florida State game. I think Florida State maybe not a bad team. Like Travis is good, and they're undefeated. So like a 1-point loss there, neutral site, not terrible. But to come back and get that win against Mississippi State and win the way you did, I guess that really impresses me. And that's
for
why
sure.
I have them.
It was a good week, but I still feel like Florida, in my opinion, is above them. At Texas A&M, I don't have as much of an issue with, just because, you know, it was a good win against Miami, but the App State loss is tough. They didn't look good in that. They haven't looked great. So
I guess I ask you, when you compare LSU and Florida, right, who had the more impressive win, LSU or Florida? That's it.
Florida.
Florida did. Who had the worst loss?
LSU.
I guess maybe LSU.
Yeah.
But who's looked the best in their other game?
Well, who looked the best last week? LSU. So, I mean, if you're basing it like
just
on last week. Then
but I would say like LSU has looked better in their loss against Florida State than Kentucky did, or than Florida did against Kentucky.
Kentucky's still a top 10 team at the end of the day, and you were in that game.
I'd say LSU has looked significantly better in their games against like Southern than, you know, than Florida did against USF.
I just
USF.
Am not ready to raise
fair.
LSU as high as you are at this point. It was a really good win, but Florida, like we said, they had a really good win as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty jumbled there. At
sure.
7, that's where I'm holding Mississippi State. I don't drop them further than 7, even though they just lost to LSU, who I have below them. I still think that, you know, their first two wins were impressive, and I think that overall they will still definitely have a good season. I don't think that loss will set them back too much. I have them right there at 7. And I'll give you the top 6 in hour number 2. Sam, before we go to break, Gallon update?
Pretty much halfway there. I would say
hold it up.
I'd say you're probably
you're definitely
half. 4/9 of the way there. 4/9.
Well, that's less than than half.
It gets a little bit bigger on the bottom.
Very
there.
Like narrowly less than halfway.
Huh.
I'm right at the like the label that they put on there, like 2%. Like I'm right at the label. That's where my milk level's at. So
it's just that bottom portion is the toughest.
The bottom portion is definitely the biggest.
The most. Yep.
Well, I told you during the break, but Sam gets one phone a friend during hour 2, where at any given time he can just tap me in, and I will give that gallon one good chug, and we'll see how much goes away from it. But hour 1 done, hour 2 on deck, and hey, in hour 2, again, we'll be giving away a free window tint, so make sure you are tuned in here on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part.